AMA part three.
I really did not think this AMA was going to be 4 hours long, but it's starting to look like that. So yeah, let's get started on part three.
Can you please stop falling out of your chair? I don't know how to say your name, so prepare. Janier or Janai or Janae or Janier. I don't know how to say it. Payslip liar.
All right, payslip liar wants to know. Oh, ding, 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 ding. Your question number 100. Congratulations. The question number 100 is, what do you think is the dankest meme? Probably that video where they sing What's Going On by Four Non Blondes, but it's like He-Man, and they sing it like in this awesome sparkly rainbow thing, and like they're like, and I say, hey, yeah, 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 hey, yeah, yeah. I say, hey, what's going on? Like, that's probably my favorite. I have some fond memories of that song, because, like, I can't really explain this very well. It just, like, one of my absolute best friends ever, like, and I one day just, like, listened to that song for, like, 4 hours, and, like, our other, like, best friend was, like, he was probably, like, I'm gonna kill both of you, but it was just, like, a fun day. It was just, like, nothing special, just, like, a fun time, and so that's just, like, a fun memory for me. Question number 101, who is your favorite YouTuber? I have two. One of them is You Suck at Cooking. He is my favorite cooking show ever. He teaches you all sorts of really useful things about cooking, except they're not at all. It's just like a comedy cooking thing. It's funny. I recommend starting with his video, like 7 ways to chop an onion. Is it 6 ways? I don't know, but that one. And my other favorite YouTuber is Youngtown. He talks about video games. I never really know if he's being serious or if he's being really sarcastic. That's probably my favorite thing about him. Like, he's an enigma to me, and he's by far like the most interesting person to watch for me, at least. Question number 2, can you say my actual name? And in here it's spelled Janai. I want to know what it sounds like. And then it says it's pronounced, and then it's spelled out Juh-NYE. Use it in a sentence if you want. Okay, well, I think my song addressed the fact that I have no idea how to say your name. On Snapchat, when I started to see it in my head, I started to think Janai, just because my brain looked at it and, like, translated it into, like, Japanese. Not into Japanese, but, like, what it would have been pronounced like. And then you posted the pronunciation, and that threw me... I've been thinking about this all week, okay? That threw me for a huge loop, because when I looked at the way you spelled it out, I look at it and I think Janier, and I'm like, there's no way, because it's like N-Y-E is like the Nya, and I'm like, there's no way that's what it is. Like, I have to have it wrong. And then I thought about it some more, and then I thought, like, oh, maybe it is Janai. So I'm gonna go with Janai as the way to pronounce that name. We'll see. Get back to me on this. Number 103. Favorite video game. I already talked about Super Smash Bros. Melee back in part 2. So for the sake of variety, The World Ends With You, for the DS. Probably my favorite story ever told in a game. There's an amazing amount of character definition and growth in that game. A really, 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 really diverse and deep setting. The gameplay is the game that uses the DS's functionality to uses the DS's functionality to fullest. Everything about that game is so good. Probably like. My top two games are Melee and The World Ends With You. Number 104, favorite genre of music? Probably J-Rock. Some like alt rock stuff. Lately, I've been listening to a lot of like anime jazz. That's a lot of fun to listen to. I've been listening to that a ton. Number 105. Will you ever host a cooking show? Because we need to see that shit. You will never see me. Maybe some more cooking audios, though. Number 106. Boxers, briefs, or boxer briefs? Boxers, usually. They're comfy. About a year ago, like a year and a month ago, I started marathon training, and that's when I started wearing I bought a whole bunch of like sports boxer briefs because chafing is the worst. You don't want that. Okay. So I bought boxer briefs, and those are perfect for running. And then I bike 11 miles a day now, so I wear briefs a lot. But when for comfy time, I just wear boxers. Number 107, do you know or watch Markiplier? If so, can you do your best impression of him? I don't watch Markiplier, and I never have. I've had a bunch of people bring him up to me. I just never really got into it, I guess. Number 108, what is your favorite quality of a man or woman? Physically, probably like hair. And, like, face, like, the whole package of, like, that. Non-physical, probably, like, the ability to, like, make me communicate. Because I tend to, like, be really bad at, like, telling people things. Like, especially, like, if I'm upset about something, I really tend to be horrible at sharing that. So I think the ability to get to, like, pry those things out of me is something I value really, really highly. Number 109. Did you know that you're extremely adorable? Also, I love you. Oh, stop it, you silly goose. Next user.
Next on the list of naughty peeps, here are questions from Lottie Squeaks.
Lottie Squeaks says, fuck, marry, kill. Batman, Superman, Spider-Man. I'd probably marry Superman. Because he sounds like he'd be the least bad to marry. Batman is so singularly, like, justice-minded. Batman is already married to Justice, okay? No, even if I marry Batman, Batman will be married to Justice. Batman won't be married to me, okay? Superman, I can see, like, actually marrying you. Same with Spider-Man. But Spider-Man, I feel like I'd be worried about him getting killed all the time. Or Superman, I feel like I'd be slightly less worried. Which is technically not correct, because I think Superman has a higher mortality rate than Spider-Man, but whatever. But I think Spider-Man would be fun to fuck, I guess, out of the three. Probably the most fun, like, personality wise. Number 111. Would you rather eat the hottest pepper in the world or stick your tongue to a frozen flagpole? From experience, probably the flagpole. Not that I've done that before, but way back when I was getting started, I wanted to do an audio where I masturbated right after eating a really spicy pepper. And the goal for me was to invoke, like, a sense of urgency or desperation, because I was not going to let myself drink anything until after I came. So it was going to be, like, a very, like, oh my god, it hurts, please let me come audio. I lasted about 30 seconds, and then, hold on a second. I just went looking for it, and I don't think I have the footage anymore, but basically I just ran. I used to have the recording, I don't know where it is, but it's just, like, me eating a hot pepper and, like, trying to masturbate for, like, 30 seconds, and just me, like, running out of the room, and then, like, 15 minutes of just, like, silence as I'm, like, in the kitchen, like, naked. There's, like, lotion on my dick. Like, my roommate, like, of course, is not home for this, but, like, just me naked in the kitchen, like, running my tongue under the sink, like, it hurts. Like, I don't deal with spicy foods very well, so I will stick my tongue to the frozen flagpole. 112. Favorite and least favorite hentai tropes. My favorites are older sister, with girls wearing suits, tentacles, combat, like anything with fighting in it, Knights. Female knights is one that almost exclusively exists in hentai. There is, like, porn of, like, girl, like, armor. I really like girls in armor. I don't know why. Like, it's just a thing. Yeah. Least favorites? NTR. Whenever they show, like, a bunch of, like, old, fat, ugly dudes, like, I don't really want to fap to that, right? And then, like, probably the really, really, really huge boobs, like, if they're, like, 2 times bigger than, like, the character's head, I'm not really super into that. Number 113. What sort of dystopian conditions would you be best equipped to survive in? Probably the one where the only currency is previously existing audio porn. Because I've got a lot of that of me that I can share. So I'd be rich. I don't know. Well, 114. Favorite song you've ever performed a cappella?
A light in the room. It was you who was standing there. Tried, it was true, as your gloves met my stare.
That's the first, like, 15 seconds of a recording that I posted at Backstage a long time ago. It's I'll Run by Pentatonix. I don't think it's really by any means, like, the best thing I've done, but it might be my favorite. Just, like the parts of it that did work out, I really, really, really like. So, yeah. Next question. 115. If GWA had its own Olympics, which events would you participate in? Probably writing really long backstage comments. I write really long comments when I get really carried away about stuff. Recently, I wrote a 6-page in Microsoft Word thing about Sword Art Online and why I don't like it. And my friend was like, "You hit the text cap on 2 comments in a 1 upvote thread with no other comments. I love you, never change." And also, I was talking about how, like, I was like, GWA anime is, like, my turf, I gotta defend it, but instead of turf, I typed turd. So, like, my two best friends, I texted them, and I was like, "GWA anime is my turd." It's just, like, a funny typo. 116. What fictional series do you most admire the world building of? I hope that made sense. It did make sense. Harry Potter. I really slept on Pottermore at first. I thought it was, like, I was like, whatever. Like, I was, because I was over Harry Potter at that point, right? Like, I'd read the books. I was done with Harry Potter by the time the 6th movie came out. I didn't watch it because I'd read the books multiple over and over and over and over and over again. I'd read the books so many times. And by the time the 6th movie came out, the 7th book had been out for long enough that I'd read it several times. And I was just like, I don't care enough to watch the movies. Like, but there's some really cool stuff in Pottermore. Specifically, my favorite thing about, like, the extended Harry Potter, like, universe that J.K. Rowling has wrote, Professor McGonagall's backstory. Professor McGonagall has a really cool, like, article on Pottermore. Like, her whole life is written out on there, and it's such a cool story. I would watch a whole movie about Professor McGonagall. Something I never would have thought I would have said as a kid, but, like, definitely Harry Potter. I heard the new book is not good, or play, whatever, The Cursed Child. I hear a lot of people really don't like it. I haven't read it yet, and I don't know if I'm going to. Number 117. What Pokemon type do you think best represents you inside and outside the bedroom? Inside the bedroom, ground, because I'm, like, consistent, I guess, like, in what I do. Like, it's, I don't know. Outside the bedroom, I think I'm an ice type, because I'm offensive but also fragile. Number 118. If you could meet any or all of the characters you've played in your audios, what would you say to them? I'd probably be like, can you please stop raping people? Rape is actually bad. Don't do it. And then, I don't know. Some of the characters in my audios are horribly, horribly despicable. Which is a little scary because I tend to put a little bit of myself into all of my audios. And like for those audios, I take the parts of myself that I don't think are very admirable and I try to magnify them. But yeah, can you please stop raping people? Yeah. All right. Next up.
There you go again. Breaking porcelain. These are different from the lyrics you're used to. This song might not be the one that your username is from. I'm not sure if it's from Goodbye to Pisces. Goodbye to Pisces.
So that song might take a little bit of explanation. So this user is Breaking Porcelain, and she did say that her username already comes from a song. So I just googled Breaking Porcelain lyrics and just picked like the first song that I found that had Breaking Porcelain in its lyrics. So maybe this is the first out of three gambles that I took, where I was like, maybe this will make sense to the person. So maybe, hopefully I got it. We'll see. Let me know. But yeah, Breaking Porcelain's got questions. Number 119. What is your snack of choice? Ooh, I should go get a snack. I might sneak out at some point during this AMA to go get a snack. But lately, the two things I've been eating are pears and cheese. I do like the busk pears, like the brown ones. I like those. They taste real good. Also Honeycrisp apples, from Trader Joe's. And then, I've been eating, Gouda cheese. Yeah, my other snack that I really like is popcorn, and it's like orange juice where I don't ever buy it because I know if I buy popcorn, I will eat all of it and it's like not that great for you. So, yeah. Number 120. How old were you when you had your first kiss? I was 13. The girl was 12. 121. Please detail the reasons behind your fondness for tentacles. In hentai, they like rape people a lot, and I think that's fun. They give you the convenience of getting like insertion sex without having to like show a dude. You get bondage involved for free. You can kind of like put the girl in all sorts of positions and like see everything. It's more about like what you can show and like not hide like with the body of a male, I guess. Number 122. Have you ever dyed your hair? What color? If so, I have never dyed my hair. I don't think I ever will. I'm fine with my hair color. Number 123, paper or plastic? Plastic at the grocery store, paper at Trader Joe's. I have one of those like reusable grocery bags that I like try to use, I guess. Number 124, what is your go-to song for sexy times? I've never had sex while listening to music, actually. Yeah, I don't think I have a go-to song. I think my problem with music is, like, I think about it too much. So I'd probably, like, be thinking about the music and then, like, get distracted from sex. I don't know. There is a song that I like to play whenever something really good happens to me. I think I played it after, like, the first time I had sex. And it's just, like, this really happy song. It's, Hey, hang on, I'll play it for you. It's sort of just, like, a basking in glory kind of song. So I know this doesn't really answer your question, but it's just like a happy feel-good song. I feel like you're in Disneyland or something. Yeah. Okay, that's enough of that. Number 125. Do you like roadside attractions? For example, World's Biggest Ball of Twine, The House on the Rock, etc. I haven't really been to them. So, I guess not. I don't think my dad really buys into that kind of stuff. So, it probably influenced me a lot. I don't really take them that seriously, I guess. Number 126. Do you enjoy reading? If so, who are your top three favorite authors? I used to read a lot of books. Not so much anymore. I mostly just read comics now. Probably my favorite three authors are Douglas Adams, who people know for writing the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. Also, his life is awesome. I did like a whole biography project on him in high school. There's a whole thing where I pretended to be him for like half an hour as like a project. Like everybody had to pretend to be their authors, and I got to pretend to be Douglas Adams, which was awesome because that guy is hilarious. Really funny dude. But yeah, so Douglas Adams. The second one is Madeleine L'Engle, who is mostly known for writing A Wrinkle in Time. But if you got any degree out of enjoyment out of A Wrinkle in Time, I very, 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 very highly recommend checking out her other books, especially Within the Time Quartet. There's three other books in that series. One of them is Many Waters. It revolves around Meg's two brothers, Sandy and Denny's, and they get like teleported into like the Noah's Ark story, and it's just like a really neat little thing. And then the two other ones, one of them is called Wind in the Door. And it's this super neat microcosmic adventure, and like it's all about how everything is connected. And my personal favorite in the series is the last one. It's called A Swiftly Tilting Planet, and it also kind of has that like everything is connected sort of vibe. It's super cool. It's about Charles Wallace. He meets a unicorn, and they go time traveling, but it's like completely serious. Like it's. So they prevent like it's about like nuclear war and stuff. It's really awesome. And the third person for favorite authors is T.A. Barron, whose books I haven't read in like a decade, but he wrote this amazing series of books. There's five books in the series, I think, about Merlin. And it's sort of like the like his telling of Merlin's backstory, Merlin the magician from Arthur's. From the Tale of Arthur, and it's this really cool tale about how, like, what his life would have been like. I mean, of course, it's like just stuff that he made up, but like, I really liked those books. I read them multiple times as a kid, all the time. I'm like thinking about getting like an ebook or something of them. But yeah, number 127. Seen any good movies lately? Honestly, not. Really, the movies I've seen lately are Suicide Squad, which is really disappointing. X-Men Apocalypse. I watched all the superhero movies with my friends. X-Men Apocalypse, which was even more disappointing than Suicide Squad, because I think I had higher expectations for Apocalypse and lower expectations for Suicide Squad. I think Suicide Squad might be a better movie than X-Men Apocalypse. I was super disappointed in X-Men Apocalypse. Super, 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 super disappointed. I really didn't like it at all. And I was really hoping for it to be good because it had a lot of characters who I really like. Psylocke being one of them. I talked about Psylocke in part one of the AMA. And then before that, it was Batman vs. Superman, which was like not the worst thing in the world, but like wasn't good. So the last good movie for me was Civil War, which I need to watch it again because I really enjoyed it. Number 128. How does it feel to be the sweetest of sweethearts? Aww. No, you. All right. Next, Caesar.
A tiny bit bashful but yearning to please. It's shy but eager 23.
Okay, shy but eager 23 wants to know, the scripts you use in your audio, you write yourself or do you take submissions? If I ever want to submit something, how do I go about doing that? I don't really like take submissions, I guess. I mean, I don't really get them. Somebody just sent me a script anonymously and it was great. I really liked the script. I ended up recording it, but usually now like write my own scripts or I just go find them. Like I go looking for them and I'm like, oh, I'll like if you post it to GWA and I find it and I'm like, oh, I like this, I'll end up recording it. I feel like I'm a lot more picky with scripts now. Like there are a lot of scripts that go up now that I feel like 8 months ago I probably would have done, but like now I'm like, but I could just like do an improv or something. So I don't know. I would definitely recommend posting scripts to GWA just as script offers. Number 130. Okay, your audios are really hot. Thank you for the orgasms. Hope that's not weird. It's not weird. But I'm thinking about trying to do the same, like GWA stuff, but I don't know how, and I'm seriously kind of scared, but really interested. Can you give me tips about it? That would be much appreciated. Thanks. This question is actually not part of the AMA, but it was posted on my profile by ShyButEager23, and I kind of just lifted it to answer in here, just because I think it's a really good question, and I kind of like talking about this kind of stuff. I kind of have like a weird amount of like counter advice to like advice that's usually offered. Like the one of like the most commonly said things about like popularity on GWA, I think, is like upvotes don't matter, or like don't pay attention to upvotes, don't pay attention to downvotes, like blah blah blah, like don't look at the numbers. And I think that's a fine point of view to take, but it's not the one that I buy into, mostly because I think it's natural to want to worry about that stuff, because that's like the main metric of how, like, quote, how quote unquote successful your audio is. Like, it's just what we have to deal with. It's the unfortunate truth. So I would say like, you don't have to worry about, don't like stress yourself out about not worrying about the numbers. I don't know if that made sense, but like, it's okay. It's okay to worry about upvotes and like comments. Like, it don't like feel bad about it, but don't let it take over you, or else you're like not gonna be doing it for the right reason. You know, like most importantly with that stuff, with like the numbers, is you should never ever compare yourself to other people. That is a dark road, and I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, to like go comparing yourself to other users. I don't think that's very conducive. I think it's good to like listen to them and learn from them, but like you shouldn't look at other people and be like, oh, I don't get enough upvotes compared to blah blah blah. Like, that's not good. Your numbers don't define your audios. That's an important thing to think about, especially when you start, because when you start, nobody knows who the hell you are, right? Like, they look at your username and they're like, I've never seen this person before. Like, when I started, nobody knew who the hell I was, right? I probably took me like 3 months to get like an audio with like 30 upvotes, right? So, so don't, it's okay to like think about the numbers, but like, don't let it take over you. And then, I'm going to talk about this stuff later also, but, the mindset, you really want to stay in the mindset that you're giving something to people, not getting upvotes or comments, like not getting feedback. Like, that shouldn't be what your like priority is. Your priority should be giving your audios to people, and then like the feedback is just like collateral. Like, that's just kind of like the result, but the goal is to give, I think. The other piece of like counter advice I have, a lot of people say, just like, a super common piece, like a good piece of advice, by the way, but it's super common is to just do what you're comfortable with, right? Like, don't do anything like outside of your comfort zone. If you're scared about it, like, that's fine. And like, that's a good piece of advice. But again, I think I actually disagree with that bit of advice. Just from my own personal experience, I think it's actually a lot easier. Cause when I started, my goal was to like try to focus on stuff that I wouldn't normally do. And that's kind of how I ended up doing a lot of MDOM audios. Cause that's not something that like I pinned myself as doing. And then my MSUB audios when I started were sort of, just, they still are kind of just like an indulgence for myself. But, what was I talking about? Oh yeah. But like a lot of people are like, when people post asking for help, a lot of people are like, I'll just do what you're comfortable with. But like, I actually think that's way more intimate to do than trying something different. For example, stuff like the MSUB stuff for me, and also specifically like romance audios, that's like the romance audios are like a lot more of like what I'm like as a person than like some of the MDOM audios, I guess. And I like specifically told myself when I started that like I wasn't gonna do romance audios, because that's like it's like so close to me that it was like way more intimidating than just like going out and trying like M for M and like other stuff that like I've been talking for like 2.5 hours now, but yeah, try something new nothing past your hard limits, but like try something that you might not normally do, because the other benefit of that is that you get to sort of detach yourself from it a little bit. And then it's not, you can sort of like, you get a lot less nervous about it, because it's not like, this is me that I'm sharing. It's like, oh, like this is me trying something else. Like it's not this audio like doesn't define me. Like, and that's something you should always have in mind, is that your audios don't define you. But I think moving yourself slightly away from like your real personality a little bit when you start can actually sort of be helpful, because it will sort of like ease your nerves a little bit. Another thing is being nervous about posting. It's okay to be nervous about posting. I think that means you care, which is a good thing, right? Because you want to make good audios and you want people to like them. So don't, it's like you get nervous and it's like, all right, just come to terms with that. Be like, that's fine. Like, I'm nervous, but it's okay that I'm nervous about posting, right? Like, it's fine. Other tips, listen to your posts. You have to do it, all right? I read it in a guide and I hated it. I hated listening to myself. I'm a lot more used to it now, but like, it's still just like not my favorite thing to do, right? Like listening to yourself, especially for something like a GWA recording, but you gotta do it, because when you listen to yourself, that's the product that other people are gonna experience. Like, this Gordon Ramsay always talks about, like, why would you serve somebody a dish that you've never tasted, right? Like, if you're not tasting your food as you're cooking, what is the point? Like, if you're just gonna like present somebody with a finished product, you don't even know what like went into it, then like that's not gonna get you anywhere, right? So you have to listen to your own audio. Just, and then like point out things that you don't like about it. Like point out like, oh, I screwed up here, blah blah blah, like there's a big mic noise here that I could have edited out. Like listen to it. You don't have to fix it. Just post it and move on to the next thing. But like, learn from yourself and be like, okay, well, I've listened to this audio. Here are the things that I didn't like about it. And then I'm going to try to do better next time. Don't like tell yourself that you're like acting or like reading, when you're recording. I mean, like don't think about it as you're reading a script. Think about the like, being that character or person for like the hour that you're recording or however long you're recording. Just like, just let yourself become someone else, or take like a different part of you and like inflate it. I described it to somebody recently, like I have a bunch of like different balloons inside of me that like make up who I am, and then like I pick one of those balloons and then like I inflate it and I deflate all the other balloons. Like my rape balloon, my rapist balloon. I like inflate that and like I become like a rapist, like a full rapist for like a half hour, and then at the end of recording I go back to like being like a relatively rounded person, like who isn't a rapist, right? Like same with like MSUB. I record an MSUB and then like I inflate my MSUB balloon inside of me and everything else deflates, and for an hour I'm just like a completely subby bitch, and then at the end I just go back. So like be that thing. But then, like, remember, again, like, that your audios don't define you. And then probably my last piece, my last little bit of advice is if you read scripts, you should really try script writing at least once. You don't have to publish it. You don't have to read the scripts. Just try it. If anything, just to have an idea of what script writers go through. Script writers, I think, are, like, the true unsung heroes of GWA. They make so much possible for people who want to record. I would never have started GWA if not for people who wrote scripts. I think Tark was probably like the single most influential person in like my early GWA posting time. But like people who write scripts, they add so much to this community. So like try to write a script at some point. Like, yeah, just so you know, like, and then you'll read scripts and then you'll like, you'll know what you like about them and what you don't like about, and you'll appreciate like the effort that went into them. It's just, yeah. All right. Anyways, next user.
Take your time like a snail. Breathe it out, a slow exhale.
Slow Exhale wants to know, if you had to permanently change the color of your tongue, what color would you choose? Want something cool, not just like a normal color. Can I get it like mirror reflective, like in Terminator? Just like a silver, like, yeah, that's what I want, like a mirror tongue. That'd be cool. All right, next up.
It's a Mexican salamander who likes pasta. I don't know why she's flying, so she might be lost. A different kind of lizard that you might cuddle. Not be cool as flying axolotl.
Flying Axolotl says, now, Iceland is in the North Atlantic. Its capital is Reykjavik. How many languages can you speak? I speak English. I sort of speak Chinese. I speak a little bit of Japanese and a tiny bit of French. Number 113. What level have you obtained in Pokemon Go? What's your favorite Pokemon and what pet name would you give it?
I'm like level 7 in Pokemon Go. Again, I like couldn't really get into it. I wanted to put effort into something, and there wasn't really like an effort payoff thing. The amount of like how good you are at Pokemon Go, like how like quote unquote strong or like good you are at that game, is literally directly proportional only to how much time you put into it, really. And I live in a city, so like it's super easy for me. It would be super easy for me to just like go out and like play the game all the time if I wanted to, but like there's not really, I'd like to play games where like I can sit down and like hit my head against the wall and like practice something and then like get it, you know, like Pokemon Go, everything's just kind of like handed to you. So I'm only level 7. I love the real Pokemon games. I'm a huge fan, and probably my favorite thing about Pokemon Go is that it's getting people interested in Pokemon again. Like, I really want more people to get into Pokemon, especially with the new games coming out. The new games are looking really cool. I'm loving all the stuff that they're putting out for it. My favorite Pokemon, I've already talked about Glaceon. My Glaceon's name, I have two Glaceons. One of them is my old Glaceon from a Diamond version, and his name is Todd, named after my penguin. My new Glaceon is IV bred to be perfect in the new games. I'm pretty attached to it. Her name is Ixtli, named after the Razaphon character, but My favorite imagery. So Glaceon is like this cute little blue thing. It's like a little snow fox kind of thing. And when I played Pokemon with my friend, we would do like the team battles where we would like be on a team together. And so he had a Garchomp. And so we would do the team battles and he'd have his Garchomp and I'd have my Glaceon. And the thing about Garchomp is Garchomp uses Earthquake, which hits everybody, including your teammate. And Glaceon is very weak defensively and also weak to ground type moves like Earthquake. So to account for this, I would equip the items. There's an item that lets you dodge ground type moves until you're hit once. And it's just a bundle of balloons. So I just had this, we had this awesome like combo where he had this giant like land shark and it was like causing earthquakes. And I had this like cute little snowfly, like cute little snow fox with like a bundle of balloons like tied around her waist. Just like flying in the air, shooting ice beams at people. So yeah, there's my cute little Pokemon story. I like Glaceon. Number 134. Who do you most admire or look up to in your life and why? I don't think I really made a point. I always was kind of like lacking in like the male role model department. The first person that I like really looked up to was like this upperclassman when I was in like going into middle school. Just because he was, like, cool and, like, into the stuff that I was in. And he showed me, like, real neat things on the internet. And he ended up committing suicide. So that kind of put me off the whole, like, older male role model kind of thing. Lately, not really growing up, but, like, lately I find that I've been looking up to my dad a lot more. I think it took me a while to, like, realize just, like, how... like how much he's done for us, and then like also he's like a pretty smart guy. I've taken like a lot of social like lessons from him, I think. So yeah, my dad. 135. Do you go to karaoke sessions a lot, and why do your friends call you Karaoke King? Nobody's ever called me Karaoke King. I actually don't sing particularly well. Not like as a soloist. I don't think I'm very useful as, like, a lead singer. I specifically like to pride myself as, like, a backup singer. I think I'm great as a bass in a cappella stuff. Speaking of which, I do not go to karaoke sessions a lot. As a side point, when you're in an a cappella when you're in an a cappella group, you know, like, when you're, like, in college and you have, like, parties and stuff? Now, I don't know if you've ever been to an a cappella party. It's just like a normal party, okay? Like, after a concert, everybody will go out. You'll get a bunch of groups, like, tables of alcohol, people shit-faced and dancing and singing, and, like, speakers blaring music at whatever apartment you're at. But... the sound is beautiful. Everybody, I'm talking like 40, 50 people at a time in like a basement or like whatever, wherever you are. And everybody is harmonizing. Oh my God. So I don't get out a whole lot. Okay. So my acapella group really like got me out of like my boundaries. So that was like, I would only... pretty much party with like my acapella group, because my two best friends aren't like huge party guys. We're just more like stay in and have a good time with each other. Oh, that sounds so like sexual. Oh God. Yeah, just three guys in a room having a good time. What's wrong with that, you know? But I would only really party with acapella people. And after I graduated, we had a surprise goodbye party for one of my other friends, completely unrelated, nothing to do with acapella. And I went to the party for that, and it was a great surprise party. But that was my first time at, like, a non-a cappella party. And it struck me that nobody was singing in tune. And I was, like, I didn't realize until that moment that, like, I was, like, a cappella parties sound beautiful. And it's like, better than karaoke. Because it's, I don't know.
And like it doesn't sound good by any stretch of the means, because everybody's drunk. Like if we will always like somebody will always have like their Snapchat or whatever, and they'll be like filming it, and we'll like look at the video the next morning and be like, we sounded awful. Why did we think we sounded so good? It's because of alcohol. But I just alcohol. Acapella parties, man. Good stuff. Who needs karaoke when everybody just harmonizes to Spotify, right? Speaking of which, number 136. How about that transition? Do you have any good tips for harmonizing? Anything to look out for? Stay on your rails. Think about what the bass line is. Specifically, like, what is the root chord that you're singing on top of? And then you have to sing within those notes if you're harmonizing. Hit me up on TeamSpeak if you want, and we can talk about it. I love talking about this kind of stuff. But really, really the rule is... As long as you're not singing like something really creative or like modern or like jazz, like just find out what chord you're in and then stay in those notes for the harmonies. And then don't harmonize with the melody. Harmonize with the root chord, and then your chord will be significantly more stable. Number 137. If you were on MasterChef or The Great British Bake Off or going to meet your in-laws, what would be the dish you'll cook to show off your skills? I'm like pretty proud of my steak, but it's definitely not like MasterChef material. My latest thing that I did recently was making meatballs, but I did that thing where you put the mozzarella balls in the meatballs, and that was like pretty good. It wasn't anywhere near as hard as I thought it was gonna be, and it tasted pretty good, and it's like it looks pretty fancy. So that's probably my like new like impressive dish. Yeah. Number 138. Have you acted or sung on stage before? If not, have you thought about it? What musical do you want to be in besides Hamilton? I have acted and sung on stage before in my a cappella group. And also, I talked about how I was in Avenue Q. What musical do you want to be in? I've already talked about Sweeney Todd and Spring Awakening and American Idiot. But I forgot about one musical that I would love to be a part of, and that's Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. I love Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. Everything about it. I love everybody in it. So good. Yeah. Number 139. Last but not least, may I humbly request a little toodly-toony rap, or little toodly-toony/rap about an axolotl which likes flying in pasta. And I did answer that in my song for you, which I tried to write about an axolotl who likes pasta and flies. Did you guys know that an axolotl is actually a lizard? I guess I talked about it in the song, but like, I never realized that was the case. I always thought it was like, I saw flying axolotl and like I thought about like flying squirrels. So I always thought axolotls were like, if they were real, if that they were like some sort of like furry woodland creature. And I was completely wrong. It is actually some sort of Mexican lizard. So yeah. Okay. So for this next one.
Make way for Tones! He's the rap god sitting on his throne.
Yeah, yeah!
You better know he sounds good in audio. What a lady killing motherfucking Romeo.
Oh, yeah!
Gonna make the ladies moan with his bone, cause he's Billabong Schlong. Say it along with me,
Billabong Schlong.
Yo, Avalon rapid spree,
Billabong Schlong.
I hear his dong grows endlessly,
Billabong Schlong.
You can see he's a G, absolutely reppin' APAC. Yo,
Billabong Schlong.
Okay, Billabong Schlong wants to know, have you ever damaged someone's car and not left a note? Yes. The first time I got T-boned at an intersection and I did not leave a note for them because they were there. And yeah, that sucked. The second time was because I backed out of my driveway and somebody was parked right out of my driveway and I ran into their car. And so I did not leave a note. I gave the neighbors a phone call and then we got in contact. So like, I sort of, but it's like not really, I guess it's like an audio note. Feels bad, man. All right. Next up.
I'm what you ought to know. I'm not afraid to answer this question from Lilac Babe.
Lilac Babe says, well, a lot of the questions I had have already been asked, but what's your Myers-Briggs personality type? I'm an ENFP. I don't really like the Myers-Briggs test. Okay, so I think I'm F, and I think I'm N. But, okay, so the thing I don't like about Myers-Briggs is that people are assigned letters. I think that I find that, like, incredibly rigid to just dump somebody into a category with the letters like that. The reason I say that is because every single time I've taken a Myers-Briggs test, it has put me either like directly in the middle or like 1% in some direction of like P and J. And like, I hate that. I hate being lumped into one or the other where I'm like, but I'm not, I'm in the middle. Like, so I wish there was like some sort of like spectrum or like a counter or like anything other than just like a set of 8 letters to just get broadly categorized in. So like specifically the P and J one, I'm right in the middle between perceiving and judging. And that's really why I hate Myers-Briggs, is because I'm not one or the other. I really don't think I am. And none of the tests I've taken have told me I was, have like honestly been like, you're one or the other, because they're like, oh, we put you in J, but really you're in the middle. And that's, I'm like, but I'm not J. Like, I don't know. That's how I feel about Myers-Briggs. Same with the E, I'm like right in the middle. Yeah. Next user.
I wonder if she would admit she's pretty. Here comes user Witty the Kitty.
Witty the Kitty says, I don't generally subscribe to conspiracy theories, but you do tentacle monster porn so well that I am beginning to suspect that you actually are secretly a tentacle monster employed to lurk under someone's bed, and you record your non-tentacle audios on your lunch breaks. Will you confirm or deny this? I will neither confirm nor deny. Interestingly enough, that's actually a pretty accurate statement, but that's like, with me being an M-sub, I think naturally I'm more submissive. I think because responsibility is something that scares me, but I'm like a, I'm like an M-sub who records all my non-M-sub audios on my lunch breaks. So yeah. Next user.
I kinda saw of the audio arts. It's time to hear from the Jack of Hearts.
The Jack of Hearts asks, are you super vocal in your actual sex life / solo fap time? Are your orgasms just as loud and growls just as intense and tone just as playful? Or is it more of a GWA persona / acting and you're actually super quiet? It is a lot, but a huge part of like why I wanted to be part of GWA is like kind of wanted to change that, and I really think it is starting to change. I've been starting to notice that like while I've started to like make some noise during masturbation, where before I never ever did. But like especially now, like when I orgasm, it like doesn't even feel right if I don't make some sort of like noise at the end. So yeah, I think GWA is really helping with that, which is great. That's the dream, you know? So, yeah.
How does Queer Jacket, satanic fanatic of the Hamilton musical, never dull, making audios, get voted as a TeamSpeak mod and rise above our station? Welcome, folks,
to the Sony administration.
Hey, shout outs to Hamilton fans. Queer Jacket asks, if you could use one historical incident or story as the source material for an audio, which one would it be?
I actually don't history very well. If there was an interest, I think it'd be really cool to do like some Three Kingdoms stuff from like the Chinese Warring States period. But I don't think a lot of people really know about that stuff. And it might be more attractive from like an FRM perspective. I don't know. It's like an interesting thing that I don't think anybody's ever like really thought about. There's some stuff in there that I think you could make audios off of. And this is the last question for this part of the AMA. Number 145. If you had to give up one trait that you think makes you a good / better person, what trait would you give up and why? Maybe like, I think I'm like generally a pretty loyal person. I think that's a good thing about me. Cause like, if you're like a friend of mine, like you'd pretty much never, ever, ever stop being a friend. And I think that might be a trait that I could give up, just because it does end up coming back to hurt me with like dangerous frequency. So let's go with that. That was like probably the deepest question of this whole AMA. Let's do one more. Let's do one more user for this part.
Hey, yo, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa!
Audio Candy's favorite mother mod, Lexi. She'll make a killer galette the grow.
Whoa!
You already know that her audio's sexy. Poison Ivy and a succubus.
Whoa!
A moderator and a studying chef. She's a better baker than you could guess.
Whoa!
Serpent ask will impress. Concoction's princess.
Okay, I didn't write that instrumental. This is the second gamble. I mentioned gambling on Breaking Porcelain's username. This is the second one. Kim Seokjin's princess. I googled Kim Seokjin. I think he's a member of like a K-pop group called BST. So I just googled, or I went on YouTube and I looked up BST, and this was the most viewed video. Their like most viewed music video. So that's where this parody kind of came from, and this is the instrumental. So I didn't write that. Anyways, Kim Seokjin's princess wants to know, number 146, what Hogwarts house are you, or what house do you feel the most aligned with? I think I feel the most aligned with Slytherclaw. It's just cheating. I know, I picked two houses, Slytherin and Ravenclaw. On Pottermore, I got Ravenclaw. I think because Slytherin, I think I have the narcissism necessary to be in Slytherin. But yeah, I think at heart, I really am a Ravenclaw. Number 147. What is your go-to shower song? I already talked about Come Round Soon by Sarah Bareilles. The other one is probably Drunk Again by Real Big Fish. And I've been talking for almost 3 hours. It's 1 a.m. I think my roommate is asleep, so I'm not going to sing it for you right now. Maybe one day for backstage. I sing that song pretty often. Yeah, maybe one day for backstage. Number 148. Which of the Pokemon teams are you in and why? I'm assuming this has to do with Pokemon Go, because that's what all the kids are talking about these days. I'm on Team Valor because it's the best team. What do you want? Red's the best color. Red, anything red is 3 times as good as a normal something. I bought my audio interface specifically because it was red. My towels are red, the towels that I use in my audios. My curtains are red. This is, red's the best color. My computer's red. What do you want? Valor's the red team. Number 149. Do you know how precious and adorable and lovable you are? Oh, cute. All right. That's the end of part 3. We got one more to go.